T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us to talk about the hockey aspect of things, the captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets, longtime NHL player, Nick Foligno, with us. Nick, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in there. We're anxious to get all the sports back, as I'm sure you are. How are things going for you, and how hard has it been to, I guess, stay mentally prepared to get back on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm doing well. I mean, I've really enjoyed the time with my family. Obviously, I think I've stated that a few times, and this is time we never get. So just, you know, maximize. I got 3 small kids, and just maximize that time with them. And you know, and we're back up in Canada. We came home to our summer home, just changed the scenery after a couple months in Columbus, and the walls felt like they were starting to close in. So we came back up here, and I've enjoyed, you know, we have a lake up here that we're very lucky to be on. So I've enjoyed that, and, you know, just tried to stay ready. I think that's my job as an athlete in this uncertain time, just, you know, make sure that I'm doing my part, and I don't want to let anyone down if we do come back. So I think that's kind of dangled the carrot in front of me and, you know, kept me on the straight and narrow.
Nick, how have you found time, or where do you find time or a place to skate during these crazy times?
So I haven't skated yet. You know, I'm still waiting on that. There is a rink in my town that's opened up. So hopefully we can get out there. But yeah, haven't done any of that yet. So it's kind of weird. It feels like an off season, obviously. This is, you know, probably about as long as I'd go without skating. And then I'd start getting back on the ice. So it's definitely, I'm starting to get that itch where I'm looking forward to getting back on the ice. And, especially knowing that there's a chance, you know, we could be playing in a month or so. But yeah, I'm just, you know, I've done other things. I've trained. I'm lucky I have a gym here at the house, in both houses. And, you know, I realize I'm fortunate in that regard. So I've tried to stay in shape, but nothing quite gets you in shape like skating. And it's always so funny when you step on the ice, you feel like you haven't done it before, especially that long. So I'm anxious to feel that again.
Nick, as the captain of the team, is it on you to some degree beyond the coaching staff to call your teammates and say, hey, what are you doing? You know, maybe especially the young guys who this might be a bigger adjustment for?
For sure. I mean, that's part of my job. I think I do that regardless of, you know, what's going on in the world. You know, I always want to make sure guys are doing well. And this is a crazy time. I think I've mentioned that before as well. It's just mental health. You know, a lot of my teammates, they don't have girlfriends, or they're young. This has been hard on me, and I have a wife and kids mentally. So I'm sure that they are feeling, you know, the effects. So I want to make sure if there's anything going on with them. I think our organization has done a great job of keeping in touch with guys, keeping them informed. So, you know, that's something that I take very seriously is, you know, if we are going to come back, we got to hit the ground running. And the more you can stay connected and communicate, the better off you're going to be. And, but my biggest worry is just for the mental health of everybody and, my teammates and my friends. And, I care a lot about these guys. I think they know that. And so I try to stay in touch and just hear what they're doing. And, you know, it's been kind of funny. It's nice to hear now. Earlier it was a whole lot of the same, a lot of video games, but I think now they're finally venturing out and you know, being able to do more, which is great to hear.
What's your off season typically like, Nick, in terms of, you know, being an NHL player? We talk a lot of Browns here. I'll be honest with you, I'm an ex-football guy myself. My partner, we talk a lot. We don't know much about the NHL. So I'm curious, like, what is an off season like? Because, you know, football guys, they have mini camps, and they come together, they install their offense and defense during this time as they prepare for training camp. But for hockey players, what's that process like for you guys?
Yeah, you know, it's funny with hockey. It's such a grind of a season. You go 82 games plus playoffs, and if you go all the way in playoffs, it's four extra rounds, and you just need the mental break. So our league is really good about, you're almost left alone for a little while. You know, the whole league kind of shuts down after the draft in June, and that month of July after free agency is kind of a quiet one. Everyone kind of retreats back to their summer homes, or it kind of goes quiet. And I think it's just so important to rest the body and the mind. You know, we don't have those mini camps. A couple times, the rookie camps for the kids being drafted and things like that, there's always ways to keep in touch. But our league is really based on guys kind of policing themselves. And I think we appreciate it because you are away from your family for so long. The grind of the NHL schedule, how physically demanding it is. You need that time to kind of get your body back to feeling somewhat normal. It's very different from a lot of sports where we kind of get that break. And this has been a weird one, I think, for all of us to adjust to, because it's come right in the time when we're all ramping up. You know, this has been our off-season, so to speak, and I think we're all kind of dealing with that differently and staying ready and trying to be as prepared as possible. But this is definitely foreign to us, and I don't blame guys for feeling a little different than maybe I would.
We're talking with the captain of the Blue Jackets, Nick Foligno. Nick, there's been, obviously the NHL, Gary Bettman announced the plan, I think it was last week, but they didn't announce an exact date or exact locations. Columbus apparently is one of the places being considered. There's a few places in Canada, a few places in the U.S. Do you know anything more about when you think it's going to start and where it's going to take place?
I got all the secrets. I just can't tell anybody. No, I wish I did. I think the league has done a great job in respecting what's going on here. I think if you start giving dates, people get hopes put on that, make plans, and that can become expensive and dangerous all at the same time, right? And so I think they've been really respectful to the fact that they just don't know. And I don't think they're ashamed to say that either. They're watching this closely. They've done a really good job of communicating with us. And I know it doesn't seem like that. Maybe we're just like, but we're the first team that's come out with kind of a plan of how we're going to get back. So I think the dates just fall in the line when things start to make more sense, become more clear. And I think players respect it. Obviously, for us as players, we want to know. I think anyone does. Fans, for us, we want to know. But I think we know that we're inching closer. And if we just can be respectful of the real big picture here, and that this has been a very serious thing that's gone on, and people's lives have been altered drastically because of it. Hockey will come back when it's time and when it's ready. And obviously you're seeing there's a lot of bigger things going on in the world right now as well. And we need to be respectful of that and make sure we sit back and listen. And, I think we're really looking forward to being able to, help through that and then, get hockey back when it's supposed to come back.
Well said. Nick Foligno with us. Nick, when it does come back, obviously we talk. It's going to be at neutral sites. It's going to be probably with no fans. Maybe at some point there will be, but probably not. What's that going to be like? I mean, have you had? I guess you maybe go back to junior hockey or whatever. I mean, what do you think that's going to be like playing in that situation?
Yeah, I said it's too bad we can't even let our parents in there. That's usually when it's minor hockey when we go back and our parents would be the ones screaming. You always had one kid on your team whose mom was the loudest, and it'd be nice to get her. Well, we have a few moms on the team that could probably do that for us. It'll be weird. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It'll be very different. Us as athletes, I think you work this hard, not just to play a game that you love, but the fact that you get to do it in front of 18,000 fans a night, it's one of the things we're most proud of. It's the pressure and the adrenaline you get off of that. So that's going to be different. But like anything, I said, once the puck drops, you got five guys trying to, to hit you or score. And I think the game just becomes that. It'll take a learning curve. But I think we'd just be so happy to get back on the ice and being able to play hockey. And I think our fans would really enjoy being able to watch hockey again. And I think it'd be such a positive moment for the world going forward. So that's kind of what you keep in mind and realize, if we do get back, it's for all the right reasons and hopefully a start of a new normal.
Nick, when you guys found out that you are going to be in the postseason and you're going to play the Leafs, Maple Leafs. Have you started watching tape on them? Is that kind of exciting to at least know who you're going to play?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of know them already just from playing them a few times. But, you start thinking about the matchup and, I know we're very far away and I'm sure that the coaches are probably way more engaged than we are right now. But But yeah, it's exciting. I think it's just great for us to be able to play against a team of that in that market. You know, I think it's so good for Columbus. We've always talked about how, you know, the respect that sometimes we don't feel we get. Well, we got a great opportunity to do it on a big stage right away. You know, and coming playing against a team like that that's you know followed all over Canada and has such a fan base. So we know we'll be in tough. They're a great team, but we really believe in ourselves after everything we've gone through this year and had the you know every reason to pack it in and you know sail off. I just love what our team has been able to accomplish because of the belief that we've had and we're going to need that tenfold going into this this next phase if that's the case. So I think guys are excited for that challenge and you know it's a great way to start it off against a good team like the Leafs.
You know, Nick, as my partner mentioned, neither one of us are hockey aficionados, but I did spend 1 year doing play-by-play in the United Hockey League like almost 20 years ago. First of first of all, the fights in that league were crazy. It was like slapshot in that league.
Yeah, I think it was a fighting league that just had some hockey sprinkled into it. So,
yes.
so you'd be good to join a boxing match anytime soon. I'm sure you got your fair share. But that was a hard league, man. I've heard some stories about that league, and fortunately I never got to taste that. But some tough guys that came through there for sure.
But and it, what was funny is my 1 year there, halfway through the season, the team I was doing play-by-play for – the players hadn't gotten paid, and they went on strike. So the owner of the team – and I hadn't gotten paid either. And the owner of the team comes to me and says, we're using scab players tonight. Or he didn't call them scabs, but I did. And he goes – he says, we're going to use scab players tonight. If you call the game, I'll pay you. But I refused to break the picket line. I stood with the players because I'd become friendly with them. And they put replacement players in there, and they lost the game. I think it was like 20-1. And then the team folded the next day.
You know what I'm most proud of? You stood with the players.
That's right.
That's a true employee right there, a true friend. That's awesome. Oh, that's insane. God bless you for going through that league, though. Now you know you worked your way up, so no one can say that for you.
That's right.
That's amazing. That's a great story.
Do you think, Nick, do you think, you know, obviously your dad played in the league a long time, and much like every other sport, the game has changed. Do you like that there's less fisticuffs than there used to be?
Yes and no. I mean, I grew up, that's, you know, this 90s, 80s. I mean, when my dad's era, that's what they did. You know, he had over 2,000 penalty minutes and 700 points. So, you know, to me, he was like the complete package. So I kind of appreciate that style of hockey. So I'm probably a bad guy to ask, but I love our game. I think our game has, you know, the right amount of physicality and, you know, there is still the fights. And I think that's very important. You know, I think it's such an emotional game that you need it. I know people don't understand that, but it polices itself in a way that no other league can. And with the way we go at each other, it's almost safer as weird as that may sound to some people. And, I'm sure I'll get some backlash on that, but it just, you know, it's a style. That's what I think it makes it a hard sport, one that people appreciate because it's not everyone can and wants to do it. And we know we're putting our bodies in harm's way, but we love the game and we respect one another. And I think that's the most important thing you can have in the game.
Between you and your brother growing up, who's the better player?
Oh, me far and away. He can't touch me. I did. I always have a story, though. I said there he's about 4 inches taller than me, about 20, 25 pounds heavier now. And I'll never forget. It was like we used to fight all the time growing up. And he finally, I think he was around 15, 14 maybe. So I was about 18. And I ticked him off enough that he wailed and hammered me in the shoulder. And I, you know, I didn't really make it a scene at first and kind of walked downstairs and I let out the biggest ow. And I said, from that point on, I never really got into it with him anymore. I realized that he had kind of finally caught up to me in strength at 14, so it kind of scared the hell out of me. And so everyone asks who would win a fight, but it'll always be me. I'm smarter, but he's definitely got some muscles behind it now, which is funny to see. But it's so cool to have a brother playing the league with you, and you know, it's just I'm so proud of his career.
Duffs or Anchor Bar?
Oh, both.
Anyone.
That's one thing I always miss about Buffalo. My sister lives there now, and I always tell her. She gets so annoyed every time I come to visit. I'm like, you know what I want to do? And we go right away for chicken wings. It's just the thing we do. But Anchor Bar, Duff's, it doesn't matter. They're all great. And that's one thing I definitely miss about living in Buffalo.
And I don't, Nick, if you're so used to it after all the years, but why is the hockey locker room by far the smelliest of all sports locker rooms?
We work the hardest. It's just the way it goes, man.
Yeah, probably true.
That's a great question. I don't know, because I've only been in a couple other locker rooms, and you're right. It doesn't smell as bad as in that room. And I don't know if it's just the way our gear is made to contain and not so much breathe. It's nasty, but it's a great I love when someone walks in for the first time, or I'll never forget my daughter. She grew up in it, but then it finally got to an age where she's like, it is terrible in here. And I realized, yeah, it's probably time to get her out of the locker room anyway. So those are the moments that make you laugh.
Nick, talk to us about Tortorella for a moment, because we've had him on before. He's very entertaining for us. So what's he like as a head coach?
You know what he is? He's entertaining as a head coach. I have a great relationship with Torts. He's taught me so much about, you know, my game and myself as a leader. And, you know, I think he's done an outstanding job of giving us some respect here in Columbus. You know, when he came here, that was his big thing. You know, how this team needs to start gaining respect, and this is how we're going to do it. And he's put out a blueprint that, you know, has done just that. You know, we've been a competitive team every year. We've been one of the better teams in the league every year. And that speaks volumes about him as a person and as a coach. And he gets guys to believe in him. You know, he's hard, but it's, you know, he's direct. And I think you appreciate that about a coach. And, you know, so I have a great relationship with him. He's definitely, you know, we've had a lot of laughs at some of the things that go on just because he's so emotional and fired up. And but you know what? He's the first one to come and you know, admit if he crossed the line or you know, tell you know, why you're so passionate and make you understand him a little bit. And I think that's the reason why him and I have such a great relationship, and I respect him, and all the guys in the room respect him so much.
Nick, last thing before you go, I know, sadly, your mom passed away from breast cancer, and I know you've done a lot to raise money and awareness, and I know you have a foundation, so please tell us about it and promote it for us.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, it's actually crazy. We 10 years last summer that she had passed away from breast cancer. And so our family, when she passed away, just knew that, you know, she had such a great way with people and giving back. And we started a foundation, the Janice Leno Foundation. It's mainly for our hometown here in Sudbury, Ontario, just north of Toronto, because it's actually, unfortunately, a city that's really hit with a lot of cancer. We have a mine here, and I don't know if it's directly correlated, but seems that age group is we have a lot of cancer. We actually have our own cancer center here for not very big city, so we just felt like it was a way for us to give back. But we're trying to, you know, I've been so inspired and humbled by the support I've gotten from the Columbus community, the Ohio community, that I'm trying to figure out a way to get it down into that area and try to give back there. We know how, you know, there's so many things going on in the world, and you know, you see everything that's going on right now. It's just that cancer will never go away. You know, it affects people every single day. There's still people fighting for their lives amidst of all this craziness. And, you know, I feel for that. I know the story. I know what it does to a family. And luckily, we've tried to use this as a way to strengthen ours. So we've really appreciated the support we've been given from, you know, doing this. And we just want to try to make it a better place and you know, find ways to help with research and you know, help people that are stricken. And hopefully they can come out with a better story than we did. And we get so inspired when we see that. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
You got it. Great stuff, Nick. And best of luck to you and the Blue Jackets when the season comes back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
You got it. There he is, Nick Foligno. Great to chat with him, the captain of the Blue Jackets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.